says, the earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. He says, you are my portion. You are my inheritance. You are my everything. You are my food. And he said, I'll keep your word. I ask you for your favor with my whole heart. I want your favor, God. He says, be merciful to me. I thought about your word, your ways. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked are bound in, but I have not forgotten your law. It says, the wicked have surrounded me, but there's one thing that keeps me safe. It is your word. And this is at midnight, when I am sleepless, I'll rise and give thanks to you because of your righteous word. He says, I am a friend of those all who fear you and those who keep your precepts. The whole earth is full of the mercy of Lord, or the mercy of the Lord. And he says again, God, teach me your ways. I want to learn more. Teph, verses 65 to 72. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. For I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Remember, he's writing from experience. And right now, he remembers straying away from God's word. He said, at one point I followed you, and then I strayed away, and I was afflicted, he says. Now I am back to your word. And God is probably saying, welcome back. Sorry about your loss, or your afflictions. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. I love that. He said, you know what? At a certain point in life, I strayed. And he said, man, I got a terrible beating. All of us can testify, right? We were like, man, this Jesus thing is boring. This word of God, this church thing, let me go back. And what happened? You got beaten. You came out a loser, right? And he says, I'm actually thankful that I got a terrible beating in the world. Because now I know how to trust you. We often learn from experience, right? God gives us instruction, but we're thinking, instruction. Then we wander off from his instructions, and we come out losers. And when somebody comes to you and says, let's go back the world, you'll be like, no way, I'm not going back. I know what I got from that place. And it's good it happens to us, because it confirms that in God's word alone are we safe. Nowhere else. And he said, I went out looking for money. I didn't find enough money. And he says, your word is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Your word is better to me than money. I went out, I tried looking for money. I looked, it was not enough. And then it eventually evaporated. Your word never runs away from me. Everything else, I think in Psalm 138 verse 2, everything else will float away. We'll always find God's word where we left it. If you ever leave your Bible anywhere, you dump it wherever, you run off to pursue anything, you'll come back and it will be exactly the same Bible that you left behind. The same Genesis to Revelation, and still stands. Your word is better to me than honey, than anything, than money, than anything I can earn, than food. Yod, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Lest, I pray, your mercy and kindness be for my comfort, according to your word, to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me, that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me Those who know your testimonies, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may be not ashamed, that I may not be ashamed. In Yod, he talks about God being in charge of his life. And he says literally that God, you made me and you fashioned me. And I'm under your kindness, your love, your goodness. I'm under you completely. I'm under your faithfulness. In fact, in your faithfulness, I have been afflicted. And he's praying, God, you are the one who made me and you have afflicted me. Where else can I go? I still have to run back to you for mercy because it's you who made me. I belong to you. You know me. Let your tender mercies be upon me. The proud, I was part of them. They treated me with falsehood, with disrespect. But I'll think about your word. He says, I warn people, in verse 74, who fear you, to be happy when they see me, and when they see me, honoring your word. Don't you like that? Don't you desire that? I want people to see me honoring you. And I'm sure that is going to bring them gladness, he says. Your judgments are right. The Bible says, even if we had all the wisdom in this world, it would still be foolishness compared to the wisdom of God. Even if we called God foolish, even in our description of him being foolish, he would still be wise. And he says, your judgments are right. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live. For your law is what I enjoy. Let the proud be ashamed. Let those who fear you turn to me. Let those who know your testimonies turn to me. And let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. Again, he talks about his desire to be safe from shame. Kaf, verses 81 to 88. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. He says, my eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in smoke. Yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful, he says. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on the earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. He says, God, your word is faithful. He says, your word brings salvation. I long for salvation and I find it in your word. He says, I am looking in your word. It brings me comfort. I am dying like smoke in a wineskin in smoke, right? I'm drying up. I'm being burned. I'm being darkened. Smoke has a drying effect on skin, on hides and skins, a darkening effect. I'm drying up, but I don't forget your word. How long will I even live? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute? When will you tear down my enemies? He says in verse 86, all your commandments are faithful. Everything you say comes to pass. They persecute me wrongfully. I know you will deal with them. They almost killed me. Did you read that? 87. But I did not leave your word. Revive me. Bring me back to life according to your loving kindness, that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. The Bible is full of people who have held on to the word of God and they have come out of literally death. They are being burned. They are being killed. They're being threatened. They're being fired. If you believe in Jesus, you go away. You don't have any job. If you love Jesus, then you leave this home. You go away. But every persecution to this day proves the faithfulness of God, because God does not forsake his people. The people who get dismissed from a job because of their faith end up getting a better job. And people who get forsaken and thrown out again, in the end are so blessed. The very people who kick them out seek them. Remember Nebuchadnezzar and the Hebrew boys? He tried to ban them. What did he do in the end? He said, you know what? Let me change the law. Everybody needs to worship Daniel's God. That couldn't have happened without persecution, without going through the fiery furnace. And in the end, we realize, God, whatever you say is actually true. Your word is faithful. I will not leave it. Bring me back to life that I may actually listen to you the more. Lamed 89 to 96. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances for all your servants. Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I'm yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. He said, your word is firm and settled and established in heaven, and again talks about God's faithfulness to all generations. He said, if I had forgotten your precepts, I would have been dead. I would have perished in my affliction. And he says, you gave me life. What else can I get from God? The wicked are out there waiting for me. Death is asking for me. And he says, I have seen the summation, the result of all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. It says your word is exceedingly wide. God's word is not narrow. It covers all the spheres of life. You ask for any part of this life, and it is described in the Bible. From the time we are born to the time we die. Help me. Revive me. Your word is faithful. Teach me. I've seen the result of your word. I think all of us have. Mem 97 to 104. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I have your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. He talks about, in Mem, the wisdom in God's word. When we are born into this world, we know completely nothing. Nothing. We have to learn everything, from language to way of life to preferences to lifestyle. We learn literally everything. And I wish, from the very time we are born, the very first thing we learn is the word of God. And do you think life would be completely better? But so often we get into this world and we are taught everything that is upside down. And we grow up and the very first thing that we should have learned, we get to learn later, and we struggle, don't we? You're being brought up and you're thinking, I'm this in your culture. I'm supposed to do this and this and this. I'm supposed to drink. I'm supposed to marry 10 women. I'm supposed to blah, 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 blah. And then you go to God's one and you're thinking, I'm only supposed to have one. Drunkenness is bad. I'm actually supposed to be good. And we struggle, right? Because the very first thing we learned was evil to the core. We had no idea what wisdom is and what wisdom was. But in the word of God, the psalmist says, I have understanding. I'm more brilliant than my enemies. I know more than my teachers. I know more than the old people. I know more than my grandfather because I kept your word. Maybe my grandfather did not know much, only knew a little. Maybe my teacher only taught me math. I knew the source of math. He says, I have kept away from evil so that I could keep your word. I've not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. When we are reading the word of God, he himself is teaching us. And he compares the word of God to food. He says, God's word tastes better than the most sugary natural liquid, honey. Sweeter than honey. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. The more you come to the appreciation of God's word, and the more you eat of it, the more you will hate evil. And the more you'll hate evil ways. And the more you'll find it sweeter. The more you read it, the more you'll find it very delicious. Every day. Giving you life and wisdom. None. 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet. This is a very popular one, right? Maybe some of you have memorized this. Why don't you memorize the whole Psalm 119? You want to pick this one? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in your hand. I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare before me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have kept as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to you the very end. He said, look here. This world is dark. Alright? Can you see outside? It's dark. That's the condition of the world. And he says, there is one light that leads us in righteousness. It is the word of God. And the word of God lights our feet. It creates a way for us to go through. This is when everybody is just wandering in the darkness, trying to find their way in this life. Your word shows me everywhere I should go. And that's why I'm committed. Lord, receive my offering, my worship. Teach me, he asks. My life is in your hand. You're carrying me around in your light. The wicked lay traps, and you know in the darkness you cannot see a trap. In darkness you don't see anything. But when they lay a trap before me and your word is giving me light, I just jump over the trap and I keep going. You make me smarter, more brilliant than my enemies. And he says, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever. Heritage is an inheritance. It is a belonging, it's a possession, it is your lineage, alright? It is you, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, that's your heritage, your culture, your tribe, wherever you came from. And this says, I'm going to make your word my heritage. I'm going to make your word where I belong. It's going to be my home. And I'm going to pass it on down to generations after me. My children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, if I ever live to see them, that is their heritage. And the one thing that we should leave with our children is the word of God. We may leave them with so much stuff, they're going to lose it. They won't understand the value of your sweat. And we see it happen. We see this happen all the time. A guy is so loaded, he dies. And his kids grow up and they're thinking, this man is free, right? And they blow it in months. And this is something that somebody has worked for it for over 50 years. You just leave them wealth without the word of God, they're going to blow it and lose it in just months, in weeks. But you leave them the word of God, they're going to realize, you know what? This came out of hard work. The values, the scripture values that we leave our kids, we'll teach them everything past us. They'll realize, you know what? I don't think my dad earned this just like that. He must have worked for it. And I'm not just going to blow it away. I'm also going to add on to what he left me so that I can leave more to my children. And they're going to be wise in managing the resources that, you know, they have at hand. But once we just leave them stuff, but not God's word, everything is gone. In fact, even if we leave them nothing, but we only leave them the word of God, they will be safer. Because God's word is going to instruct them in every way they should go. And he says, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make your word my home, my inheritance, my heritage. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. Samek, verses 113 to 120. I hate the double-minded. Anybody likes double-minded people? Anyone? You like people who are just like, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no? He says, I hate double-minded people, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your heart. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live. Do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked on the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for the fear of you. I am afraid of your judgments. He starts off saying, I hate people who just keep wandering around. They are not making any willful decision which they stick with. They want to be in the world and they want to be Christians at the same time. Soon they'll be torn apart. They'll be split. But he says, I like people who have a stand. They are either Christian or non-Christian. He says, I hate people who are wolves in sheepskin. They're not Christian, but they're pretending to be Christian. Or I hate people who are Christian and they're pretending not to be Christian. He says, I love your law. I love your word. I love your judgments. In fact, I tremble before your word. Maybe he reads stories of God's power and God's judgment and God's dealing with his enemies and is thinking, wow, that makes me tremble. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors, he says. But surely, brother, be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fall from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, rather, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold. Yes, more than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. He says, I have done good in following your command. But there are people who have come against me. You know that your pursuit of God's word and your good deeds out of God's instructions are not going to be welcome everywhere, right? When you do something good, don't think everybody's going to be happy. Strangely, right? You're thinking, if I do good, everybody's going to be happy. You do good, people are going to be like, who does he think he is? He thinks he's the best, you know? And he says, man, I'm thankful for your word. I was able through your word to disregard all that and to keep in the right way. I've regarded your law more than gold, more than the most expensive metal. He says, one of the most expensive. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. He says, you know what? Those guys, they're not your servants. I am your servant. And deal with me like you're dealing with somebody you're employing. God, act on them. They disregard the good that I'm doing as a result of your word. God, you beat them up for me. Shatter their teeth, he prayed earlier. Break their legs. Says, I consider to be right, and I hate every false way. He says, I continue doing right because I know what is right, and I hate evil. Pay 129 to 136. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and I panted, for I longed for your judgments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward me. And those who have love for your name, direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your statutes. He says, your words are the best thing ever, full of wonder. Therefore, my heart, my mind keeps them. Your word comes in my mind and it gives me understanding. And he says, to the simple, by the way, the people who are very complicated obviously will not be in the word of God. The word of God is for the simple, the people who are looking for wisdom, the people who are humble, the people who are tender and calm. Everybody else, apart from simplicity, do not understand the word of God. And we know that their life is obviously quite complicated. He says, I opened my mouth and I was hungry and thirsty for your word. Look upon me and be merciful. He says, just like you are to everybody who loves your name. Direct me, lead me, Lord, in your word. Let no iniquity have dominion over me. That's what Paul writes to the Romans. Let no sin have dominion on you. It's only possible when you keep eating the word of God. Redeem me. Buy me back from oppression. The people oppress me, that I may obey your word. Make your face shine upon me. God, I want to reflect you. I want to see you smiling upon me. I want your favors upon me. God's smiling face is God's favor. He says, Lord, I want people to see your favor upon me and upon my face. Smile at me, God, and teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not. He says, I cry. Do you ever cry because people do not obey the Lord? It brings tears to us. You're thinking they're doing something that is going to kill them. Sadly, 137 to 144, almost done here. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies which you have commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your way is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. It says, your word is righteous. It's pure. It's holy. It's clean. And your testimonies are righteous and true, faithful. Your word is pure. I am small and despised. Small people are always despised, right? For some reason. When we have not met somebody that we hear of, we always think they're big, right? And then eventually you meet the person, you're thinking, is he the one? You know? You're kind of disappointed. That was so with the psalmist. And he says, I'm small and despised, but I'm important to you. Everybody may not respect me, but I know, God, you love me. You care about me. And he says, your law is truth. He says, your word is righteous, your word is pure, your word is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are what I enjoy the most. The righteousness, the purity, the cleanliness, the holiness of your word is everlasting. And he says, I want to understand that. Give me understanding. Quoth, I cry out with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you. Save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord. Revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from the law. You are nearer, O Lord, and your commandments are true. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of all that you have founded them forever. In Kof, he's crying. He wants help. And he wants help so that he keeps the testimonies of God. Do you ever pray every day, God, I just need your help to obey you. I wake up and I want your help. I am asleep. I wake up at midnight and I want your help. I want your word. I want to hear what you have to say, Lord. Lord, hear me. The wicked are drawing closer to me, but you are nearer. The wicked are coming near, but you are really nearer. You are nearer than my enemies. And he's saying, God, concerning your testimonies, I have known them for a long time, and I know they come from you. You study the word of God, and for some accuse the word of God to be something that some brilliant people came up with. Not so the psalmist. He said, you know what? I have read your word, and I know it from you. This is not a bunch of men coming up with a good idea. When we're growing up, we're told, these are just Muzungus trying to teach Africans how to behave. You heard that myth? And you'll hear it so many places all over the world. This is just a bunch of people down in Israel there. They thought and thought and thought, and they said, you know what? Let's write these things down to teach people how to behave. This could not have been a result of some people trying to teach others how to behave. The psalmist says, this is your word. You inspired men to write it down. This is from you. This is written over 1,600 years. Anybody lived 1,000 years? No. We see in Genesis, the longest people lived was almost 960. So even if they had 1,000 years to come up with the Bible, they would still fail. They still needed to live 1,600 years. And they have to be in one room together and locked up, and they have all those ideas in the same room. But the word of God, shepherds, doctors, kings, ordinary people, Jews, Greeks, Arabs in three continents, how do you do that? It's even hard to unite people in the same continent, you know that? You can't even unite the Egyptians and the South Africans. The South Africans think that they live outside of Africa. When you go there and you're from Kenya, you're like, hey, you're from Africa. You're from Uganda, that's Africa. The Egyptians think, the Moroccans think they're in Europe. They even apply to join the EU. It's hard to keep just two people from the same continent, from different parts of the same continent, united, right? How on earth would people from three different continents come up with this idea? It's impossible. And David says, you know what? I have read your word a very long time. If this is David writing, he says, I know that you are the one who founded them. In Resh, verses 153 to 160, just a few more verses, and we'll be done. You're thinking, oh man, this is so long. Couldn't you have preached about something else? Just the word of God and the word of God and the word of God. The Lord who allowed it be here is saying something. All right? So Resh, consider my affliction, deliver me. I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous, and I'm disgusted, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. He says, I consider my affliction and I need your help. I do not forget your law. Revive me. Salvation is far from the wicked. It is written about that already. But he says in verse 157, many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. When you are overwhelmed by persecution and enemies, most often you're going to start doubting God, right? You're suffering, you're thinking, God, but I'm your child. Why am I suffering? God, but I pray 7 times a day. I fast like 100 days a year. You know, I tithe every Sunday. Are you still there and you don't see my suffering? The psalmist says, you know what? I have so many problems, persecutions, enemies. But that has not caused me to falter in my faith. And all of us, at one point, going through problems, think that God has forsaken us, right? All of us. But the psalmist is here encouraging us and is saying, you know what? Persecutions are there and enemies are there. Problems are out there. But it should not push you down from your faith. It actually should build your faith up. It should make you tighten your faith in God. He says, I have so much to deal with, but I never forget your word. And the very nature of our problems draw us away from the truth. When we are going through so much, we don't even want to read the word, right? Maybe you're here and you're going through so much and you're thinking, man, he's in the word again. Can't he get something more exciting? But we are reminded that, you know what? Regardless of every trouble around us, we should not turn away from the word of God. There are treacherous people out there, hateful people. But in verse 159, consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth. You said that already. And every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. He says, consider how I love your word. Lord, you know I love your word. Would you tell the Lord that? God, you know that I love your word. Your word is truth. Abides forever. The second last. Shin. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word, as one who finds great treasure. I hate and abhor lying, but I love you, Lord. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love you, Lord, and nothing causes them to stumble. Lord, I hope in your salvation. I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. And he says, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. The psalmist is just rejoicing. He's just happy as he winds up all these verses. He's just happy. He says, I have persecution. My heart stands respecting your word. I rejoice at your word. I'm happy. I hate lying. I love you, Lord. Seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love the word of God. There is no peace for the wicked, the Bible says. There's only peace for those who love and know the word of God. And every source of conflict is from a lack of the knowledge and obedience to the word of God. In fact, in James, he says, so where do wars come from? You know where they come from? He says, from your sinfulness. If there was no sinfulness in the human heart, there would be no war. There would be no police brutality. There would be no chaos in this world. But because of the sinfulness of our hearts, we have conflict. But amidst all the conflicts around the world, they're actually going to multiply, as Jesus prophesied. There's going to be rumors of wars and nations are turning against nations and everything is going to be chaotic. But the psalmist says, there's great peace because I know exactly what's happening. A lot of people wonder, so what is happening? Right? There's this happening. Where is this leading us? But for us who know the word of God, we're like, yeah, that is happening. That is a sign of Jesus' second coming. And we know it. And much as it breaks our hearts, it doesn't take our sleep. Right? People are surprised by what they read in the news. They're surprised by all the chaos around the world. For us, we're like, ah, that's just evidence of the sinfulness of the human heart. And we have, through generations, tried to fix all these problems apart from dealing with sin. Right? We have all these organizations around the world. The UN, the what. Let's help people. But they cause more trouble. Right? Wherever UN soldiers are deployed, there is sex, there's sexual immorality and sexual abuse. They are sinful as anybody. Right? But amidst that, and amidst so much sinfulness and wickedness and chaos, we have so much peace. We have Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And He makes the difference. Those things bother us, but we still go to bed. We are able to sleep. There is peace for the righteous. I have hoped for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all my ways are before you. God knows all our ways. We can hide from each other, but we cannot hide from God. And the psalmist knew that. I think he read the word of God and realized, you know what? With all this in the Bible, God knows all my ways. Do you ever go to a sermon and you're thinking, so who told the pastor about me? Right? You walk around, you're thinking, that church has gossipers. Somebody told the pastor to preach about that thing about me. You go to a church and the sermon's about you. God is basically telling you, I know your ways. And you're here so that I can speak to you. And lastly, Thou, let my cry come before you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication be before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall be praised. Rather, and it shall praise you. And let your judgments help me. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. He ends with just a cry before the Lord for understanding. He's written so much about the word of God. He describes it as his law, his word, his saying, his commandment, his statutes, his judgments, his precepts, his testimony, his path, his way. And he says, I want to understand that. I want to understand more. And the word of God is such that you can read it 1,000 times, you can study it all your life, and there is one effect that it will leave in you. I want more. You read the Bible. You ever read the Bible? 1 year, right? The 1 year Bible reading plan. You read it, Genesis, Revelation. You're thinking, yeah, this is nice. I got all the stories. What happens when you go back to Genesis? You're like, I didn't see this the last time I read it. And then you're thinking, what? I want more. And that's what the psalmist has. He has thought, he has prayed, he has lived, he has experienced the word of God, he has obeyed it, and he still wants more. Isn't that amazing? He wants more on his lips, on his tongue, on his mind, on his heart, in his life. And he spoke of his several responses to the word of God. He says, I have enjoyed it, delight. He says, I love it. I just like it. I love it. He says, I've obeyed it. I have meditated upon it. I have been happy and I have rejoiced because of your word, and I still want more. He has tasted it. He knows it's sweeter than honey, and who does not want more sugar in their life? In fact, our veins run with sugar, blood sugars, right? If you're low on blood sugar, you're almost dead in just an hour. And in the spiritual sense, it's true too. If we don't have the sweetness the sugar of God's word, the honey of God's word in our life, you're completely lifeless. You're just bones. And there are two things that particularly stand out through the psalm. He asks for continuous renewal, revival, and he asks for continuous preservation. He longs and thirsts and hungers for more of the word so that he's continuously revived, given life, and continuously preserved. Preserved from evil, preserved from enemies, preserved from darkness, preserved from this world. And we can only get that from the word of God. Amen? So you can go and eat and eat and eat, and you'll be hungry and hungry and hungry, and God will continually satisfy and satisfy and satisfy. Amen? Lord, thank you so much for your word, and thank you so much for the blessing of wisdom, of understanding, of safety, of knowledge, Lord, of joy and rejoicing. Lord, those are things we cannot find anywhere. We cannot find those things in this world. But we can find it in you. Jesus, you're the Word of God. You're the Word becoming flesh, living amongst us, renewing us, giving us new life, and preserving us for all eternity. Oh, Lord, we just want to hunger and thirst for more of your instruction. We never want to be a place of having to leave it away and turning away from it. We want to follow you, O God. We want to follow instructions. We want more of your wisdom, more of your strength, more of your skill, O God. Skill to live in this life. More of life. We get tired and worn out every day, Lord. We need to be revived every day, and it's your word that does that. So, Lord, as the psalmist cried out, give us more understanding. Let our lips utter praise as you teach us. Let our tongues speak your word. Let your hand help us in every obedience we need towards your word. Let our souls hunger and thirst and praise you. Lord, may you seek us when we lose our way towards you, O God. May you draw us close to yourself, O God. When we wander off, when you turn away from your truth, O God, may you always speak to us and draw us back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.